The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Dr. Smith, today's topic is rabies, which is a serious and preventable disease. And we have with us our very own James Rodden, as you know, Environmental Health Manager at the Ulster County Department of Health. Throughout the 20-year career, James has worked in Ulster County's vector-borne disease control program, which is tasked with the prevention and control of diseases including West Nile virus, Zika, Lyme disease, and today's topic, the rabies virus. But before we talk to James.
Welcome, James.
Yes, welcome. First, we'll say welcome, James. And then before we talk to James, how about starting with the basics, Dr. Smith? What exactly is rabies?
Rabies is a virus, and it's a preventable virus with vaccination. Over the past 100 years or so, rabies in the United States has changed dramatically. More than 90% of all animal cases reported annually to the CDC now occur in wildlife. But before 1960, the majority were in domestic animals, cats, dogs, what have you. The principal rabies hosts today are wild carnivores, raccoons, foxes, bats. The number of rabies-related deaths in the United States has declined from more than 100 per year at the turn of the century to maybe one or two per year in the 1990s. Modern-day prophylaxis or vaccination has proven nearly 100% successful. So certainly, it's a great indicator that vaccination works to prevent diseases and to save lives.
How serious is rabies? Why should we be so concerned?
Well, it's extremely serious because if once rabies is contracted and the disease actually gains a foothold in the mammal that it's infecting, it's almost 100% fatal.
Wow. No, that is serious. So, James, what is the experience in Ulster County and how do people become exposed to rabies?
We'll start with just talking about, we can give you some statistics on our own rabies positive specimens that we send to the New York State Health Department's laboratory in Albany. It's called the Wadsworth Lab, the Griffin's Rabies Lab. It's a world-class facility. In fact, other states and public agencies send their own specimens to New York State's lab for testing because they're so good at it. In 2017, we had a total of 12 positive specimens submitted out of over 100, actually. Eight were raccoons, two were cats, and there was a woodchuck and a squirrel. I'm sorry, not a squirrel, a possum.
That was in Ulster County alone.
A lot of people can think about bats as well. We did not have any positive bats last year. I think in some ways the data is a bit skewed, though, because when we get a call process a raccoon, it's because it's been exhibiting behaviors consistent with rabies. And so we're much more likely to be sending positive specimens to the laboratory. Whereas with the bats, we are truly getting a representative sample of the wild bat population. So I find that interesting. To go along with what Dr. Smith had said in the opening, according to CDC, from 2008 through 2017, that 10-year decade, there were 23 confirmed human rabies cases in the United States. So that number is very low. It's just 1 to 3 per year. More than half are travel related from folks being exposed in other countries because they don't have the same rabies programs as we have here in the United States to vaccinate our pets.
Yeah, I think I saw a statistic not too long ago that something like 55,000 people worldwide actually die of rabies, and mostly due to, again, wild dogs or what have you that are unvaccinated that bite either the inhabitants of the area or travelers and infect them with the rabies virus.
And that's sad because it is a completely preventable disease if you've been exposed to a potentially rabid animal.
So are bites the only way that people get exposed?
The bite is the primary pathway of exposure. Mm-hmm. The rabies virus is in the saliva and central nervous tissue of an infected animal. The only way that in that animal would be any mammal actually can get rabies. But the species that we most commonly associate as being the rabies vector species are raccoons, foxes, skunks, coyotes, and bats. The rabies vaccine comes in different variants. You know, they're all very closely related, but they're all a little bit different. The rabies virus that circulates in the eastern United States is the raccoon variant, it's called, whereas the bats are they're a separate unique strain of the virus. And interestingly, with bats, they're in laboratory settings, it's been possible for people to actually be exposed to the virus through an aerosol, actually by breathing it in.
They have to wear masks in the laboratory.
In the rabies laboratory, it's a very, very high level of safety. There was a very famous case of one lab analyst, actually from the New York State Wadsworth Laboratory, who did come down with a case of rabies. He survived, which is amazing. They think it's just because he had some pre-exposure treatment in the past. But he was very diminished capacity at this time. His only known exposure could have been from a bat, and he was never bitten. So that is that's pretty concerning.
Well, aren't bats really stealthy? I mean, in terms of, I've heard various stories about not knowing maybe if you've been bitten because their teeth are so fine. Is there any truth to that?
There are cases where there are people who develop full-blown rabies, and it's the bat variety, that never have any recollection of being bitten. So, it's very important if you wake up with a bat in your bedroom when you're sleeping, especially in your confined quarters, that you contact the health department right away and you do whatever you can to capture that bat and so that it can be tested for rabies. Because if you wake up with the bat in your room, you could have been exposed to it and you might not know it.
Mm-hmm. And up at the Wadsworth or the laboratory there, they can certainly, through their very sophisticated testing techniques, they can tell whether it's the strain of rabies that came from a raccoon or came from a bat. So they can differentiate that to that level.
Mm-hmm. And James, how do you know if an animal might have rabies, and what precautions should you take around animals, whether domestic or wild?
The rabies virus, again, it starts with the bite or saliva getting into a bite from an infected animal, either directly through a wound or through exposure to a mucous membrane, be your eyes, your nose, or your mouth. That animal will get the rabies virus into its body. Then the virus is going to have to find its way into a nerve. It follows the nerve in that general area where the wound was. It has to travel all the way up through the nervous system, into the spinal cord, and then to the brain. And then once it's in the brain is when it rapidly multiplies. And then from there, it descends into the salivary glands, gets in the animal's saliva, and then it can bite another animal. And, any warm-blooded animal, any mammal can get rabies. The small mammals, squirrels, rats, mice, rabbits, they are not considered really good vectors of the disease, and they just, it's probably because most of the time if they're attacked by an animal that's large enough to be a rabies vector species, they're not going to survive the attack. If a rabid raccoon attacks a mouse, it's going to kill it. So it's just, it never lives long enough in order for the disease to progress.
Does that mean that we should avoid wild animals at all costs in our yards, or at least keep a safe distance?
And we live in a beautiful place with wonderful wildlife and scenery, and it's best to be enjoyed at arm's length. If you see wild animals, keep them away, keep your pets away, keep your children away, but certainly admire it.
Leave them alone.
Leave them alone.
Because sometimes just by approaching them, you can provoke them to attack. It still may not be totally rabid animal. However, anytime an animal is approached like that, they don't know whether or not they're going to be harmed by you.
Right, in their world,
and they
you're
may
a
react.
Predator. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and speaking of pets, so how do we protect our pets?
you know, I just would like to get back to actually, I never did fully explain to you what the symptoms of rabies
are.
Oh,
sorry. Okay.
Yeah, we got to.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, once the animal's brain becomes infected, that's when the symptoms begin. While that animal is in this phase, while the virus is traveling through the nerves and multiplying, it actually is not in sufficient quantities in the saliva to transmit the disease to another animal through the bite. But once the disease has gotten to that point, the animal is going to either become very, very aggressive and out of character, or what's even more unusual but can happen is the animal will become very docile. Well, you'll get a wild animal that's normally very afraid of people, like a fox, for example, will actually try to come up to people and will lay at your feet and roll over on its back and almost and tempt you to pet it. But again, you should, you know, that is a very unusual behavior for a wild animal, so you want to get away from those animals as quickly as you can. They're going to walk in circles. They're going to stumble. They may start to have paralysis of one or more limbs, and then they're going to stop eating and they're going to stop drinking. And that's because the rabies virus has now affected their salivary glands, and they're so swollen that they can't swallow. And that's when the disease has really run its course, and that animal will die, you know, in a period of probably 3 to 7 days maximum.
Wow. So let's pick this up after a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and today's topic is rabies, a serious and preventable disease.
The heart is a complex organ, but finding specialized cardiovascular care in Poughkeepsie and Kingston is so easy. Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital are now home to WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute, the Hudson Valley's largest multi-specialty cardiovascular practice. They have state-of-the-art diagnostics and innovative imaging and testing technologies. You'll receive comprehensive cardiac and vascular care from some of the world's top cardiologists and vascular surgeons. You'll also have a seamless connection to advanced care at WMC Health's flagship hospital, Westchester Medical Center. The best cardiovascular care comes from the best people, and now the very best are right in your backyard. Visit wmchealth.org/heart to discover more about WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital. Members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, WMC Health, advancing care here.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is James Rodden, Environmental Manager for our Ulster County Department of Health. And James has been managing the issue of rabies now for a number of years for our department. Before we get into that, I just want to, before the break, James, you started talking about what happens to the animal that's rabid. Well, I just do want to get into some symptoms of rabies in humans as well, because, as I said, there are cases that exist around the world, and hopefully we won't see any in our state or county. But the symptoms can occur over the course of a couple of days, actually, and they can start out with symptoms of the flu, as often these viral infections do, including some generalized weakness, discomfort, fever, headache. The symptoms may last for a couple of days. They may also have some discomfort and itching sensation in the area of the bite, and that could progress within days to symptoms of brain dysfunction, cerebral dysfunction, anxiety, confusion, agitation. As the disease progresses, the person may experience delirium, some abnormal behavior, hallucinations, and ultimately succumb to the fatal nature of the disease once the virus has entered and taken over the nervous system. But James, certainly we do get a number of calls in our department from the community regarding having a potentially wild animal where someone may have been bitten. They go to the emergency room. Do you want to talk about how we manage that in our health department?
Sure. That's a very important service we provide to the community. Any animal bite involving a human is considered a reportable injury in New York State. It may be in the entire country, actually. But certainly in New York, if you go to your doctor because your neighbor's cat bit you on the arm, they are going to report that to the health department. At that point, you know, it's incumbent upon us to follow up on the animal. We first give a call to the bite victim to, you know, to get the story as to what happened. We then follow up with the pet owner to lay out their responsibilities and find out, you know, if, when, and where the animal had most recently been vaccinated for rabies. If it is an unknown animal, that's where it gets a little tricky. Either a wild animal that is a rabies vector species that's actually exhibiting symptoms of rabies, such as aggression, or if it's just a completely wild feral cat or an unknown stray dog, that person's going to usually go to the emergency room or to their regular physician, and they're going to contact the health department, and they're going to say, hey, you know, Mr. Rodden was bitten by an unknown cat, just came out of nowhere. What do you want us to do about it? And at that point, we would recommend that the patient begins the rabies post-exposure treatment. The post-exposure treatment, you know, has a bad reputation because people have these horrible images of what it was like, you know, 50, 60 years ago, where you got dozens of shots, you know, into your stomach. You know, that it's not like that now. It's much more modern. It's very similar to a flu shot. The rabies vaccine is given in 4 doses. It's given on the day of your visit, which preferably would be the day of the bite or as soon as or as close to as possible to that date. Then you go back on day 3, day 7, and day 14. It's given in the deltoid on your shoulder, just like a flu shot. At the time of your first visit or your second, preferably the first, there is also another serum giving. It's called rabies immunoglobulin, which is a massive dose of antibodies to the rabies virus. And it's actually given in the area where the wound is, preferably. So I'm sure that's uncomfortable if it's in an extremity like your hand or your foot. But it's so important because it's going to start to attack that rabies virus that could potentially be in your body before your own natural defenses begin to mount a reaction to the rabies vaccination shots that you're getting. So by the time your natural immunity kicks in, the rabies immunoglobulin should already have done some work on the rabies virus that have been given to you. The shot series, I believe, is 100% effective. You know, I've never heard nor read of a situation where the shots did not work. So it's That's how it goes. You know, it's going to start with a phone call to the health department, and then we're going to walk the people through the process.
And you always err on the side of caution because it is fatal, correct?
Absolutely. You know, we have a very great matrix that we work through, you know, a series of questions and situations that both the New York State Department of Health and the CDC, who are really the experts here, you know, there are conditions where they agree, yes, this merits rabies vaccination, or no, this does not merit rabies vaccination. And it's very user-friendly, and, you know, all the hospital folks understand the matrix, and we all work together with it.
Mm-hmm. And what about protecting our own pets? What's the best
Well, that's the best prevention of all. Starts right at home with your own pets. It's so simple. There are many either free or low-cost rabies vaccination clinics that are advertised. When we find out about them, we put them on our Ulster County Health Department webpage, which is a great resource. And Vin, could you give us what the address is on that?
Yes, it's ulstercountyny.gov/health. And actually, we co-sponsor our own, right? Our own clinics.
We do. Unfortunately, we don't have a clinic scheduled where I can give you a date today, but there will be one coming up soon. Our clinics are given through the Kingston Animal Hospital in Kingston, New York, and we try to do them at least 3 times a year, and they're on a Saturday morning to make it, you know, readily available to as many people as possible. And we encourage, you know, all dog, cat, and ferret owners to show up and bring those pets in to get vaccinated. The rabies vaccine can also be given to horses and to livestock, but that's really that's the limit of the animals that are approved to get rabies vaccination. Anything else is considered a wild animal and cannot be given rabies shots, in which case, if any of those other animals were to bite a human being, they would be either have to be observed for, well, if it's a domestic animal, let me go back one step. The next part of the process, actually getting back to the rabies treatment that we discussed earlier, was if it is a known animal, someone's pet or someone's livestock from their herd is what has bitten a human, they can actually be observed for 10 days. And the nature of the rabies virus, since it doesn't get into the saliva until the very last days, as long as that animal stays rabies symptom free for 10 days, then the person it's deemed a non-exposure, and that person will not need rabies shots. Now, if it's not one of those animals that can be observed, that's considered domesticated, then, you know, there's only two things that can happen. One is you get rabies shots, but preferably that animal would be euthanized and it would be tested. That's the only way that rabies can be tested for in the animal's brain tissue is, unfortunately, the animal does have to be put down, but it's done humanely. And, you know, human life is number one.
So, I mean,
and we work with a local veterinarian to do that type of work for us at Kingston Animal Hospital.
Correct. We have a contract. So, you know, if a crazy raccoon ran into your yard and got into a fight with your dog and your dog killed it, once you contact us at the health department, we would direct you to take that animal to the animal hospital, and they would do all the necessary preparation for the rabies testing. And then we would take care of all the shipping to the laboratory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is the pet vaccine pretty effective?
I believe it is. You know, it's as effective as the human, mm-hmm. but just mm-hmm. we still require that 10-day watch period, uh-huh. even for an animal that's up to date on its shots, just because the rabies virus is so deadly. We can't take a chance even on a vaccinated animal. We have to be sure.
And very often that vaccinated animal would benefit from a booster vaccine by the veterinarian. So that's something to discuss with your vet,
right,
as well.
So it's not only protecting your pet, but it's protecting your family and protecting, frankly, everyone in your
Absolutely.
Community. Because
earlier in the show, I mentioned the statistics there that it's totally turned around, the statistics on the disease since the turn of the century, thank you to the vaccination.
There are cases also where people will say, but my cat is an inside cat. My cat hasn't been outside in 3 years. Why do I have to quarantine it? Why do I have to vaccinate it? Well, and then I remind them, because bats get in your house. People forget about the bats. They're kind of the wild card in the rabies, you know, in right. America, or in the world, really, because, you know, people think there's no animals in my house and my cat never goes out and my dog is only with me. My dog is leash walk. My dog is tied. I say, yeah, but did you ever see a bat in your house? And they say, oh, yeah. Well, I said, well, then rabies has been in your house potentially. So, yes, your animal could have been exposed to rabies and you would never know it.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, James, if people want to get more information about rabies and or maybe perhaps get in touch with you for questions or maybe they've seen, you know, a wild animal or whatever, how do they go about doing that?
They certainly can call the health department during normal business hours. Our main number is 340-3010, and you know, someone will get that call, and you could just say you'd like to speak to someone about rabies. Another great resource is would be the New York State Health Department's website, health.ny.gov. And if you just put rabies in the search box, you would get a lot of information. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, has tremendous rabies resources online. Another thing to keep in mind is a lot of these things happen after hours. It seems, you know, animals come out in the dark, or that's when the bat's going to show up, you know, flying around your house. And, you know, we at the health department, we have a 24-hour emergency number, which is 334-2145. You know, we have, trained environmental managers or senior public health nurses on duty every day. And we would definitely take your call and direct you on what you should do if you do have an exposure or potential exposure.
Mm-hmm. And you should, and you know, if you suspect that you have a rabid animal around your home or in your neighborhood, or you know, or you're unsure, make that call because it is a fatal disease and it's better to be safe than sorry. And as always, Dr. Smith, as we talk about many, many times, many diseases and illnesses, that prevention is always the best.
No doubt about it. And again, vaccination is such an important weapon that we have in our arsenal for combating diseases of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
And rabies certainly mm-hmm. is one of them.
I mean, sometimes we take, you know, vaccines for granted because, you know, they've protected us over the years from 14 serious and deadly diseases, including...
Absolutely.
Including rabies. So, you know, we should never take those things for granted. They've helped tremendously. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. And it's a great topic, an important topic, and we'd like to hear more about it in future shows.
And thank you, James, for all of your work on our behalf.
Well, it was a pleasure being here. Thanks a lot.
That's all the time we have for today. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.